So this is why it's very interesting. In your 40s, we call it the midlife crisis, which to me is so disrespectful to call it that. And we've made a mockery of it because men are not taught anymore that, yeah, in your 40s, when you've had kids, you've grown, you're wiser, you're smarter, you're supposed to do something else. You're supposed to start thinking about other people again. You're supposed to really be serving others. And the way I like to see it is this. I want to make this world a better place with me in it than the world without me in it. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And when I'm in front of God, I want to be able to tell him that, you know what? The earth was a better place with me in it than without the earth, me being there. And this, I think, is what the purpose you have later on in life is really. With all the experience, all the wisdom that you've acquired.
Welcome to Unleash Thyself, a podcast where we journey into the depths of personal transformation, spirituality, and growth. I'm your host, Konstantin Morun, and today we are talking to Nico Lagan, a coach, a martial artist, and someone who really knows how to use social media to share his ideas. Nico has a big following and loves to help men become stronger and more confident. Now, Nico's life changed when he decided he actually wanted to help others. He grew up in a tough situation, but he turned his life around. He believes in being brave, helping each other, and living by strong values. He also thinks it's really important for men to stand up and be leaders. Today, Nico will share his journey with us, talk about how we can all stop getting distracted by small stuff, and why it's important to face our fears. He's got some great stories about helping others, and why it's important to speak up for what you believe in. Now, Nico's here to inspire us all to be better and to live with purpose. Let's dive in and learn from his experiences. But before we start, I have a small favor to ask. Please subscribe, like, and share your thoughts in the comments. Your engagement helps us continue to bring these transformative stories to light. Now, let's begin. Welcome, welcome, everyone. I'm sitting here with Nico Lagan. Nico, how's it going, brother?
It's going, brother. It's going. Long day, but it's good.
It's good. I'm glad to hear that. Now, I jump right into it. You say that without a purpose, a man's life is meaningless. Let's dive right into that, because I'll be honest with you. I turned 40 in 2023, and I felt like my life didn't really have a purpose for a very long time, despite having a successful career, happy family life, and all the things that someone would want.
Why do you think that is?
Well, for me, it was because I didn't look for a purpose. I always asked the question, but I never had the right mentors, the right tools. I always blamed it on the outside. And it wasn't until I looked inwards that I found the answers. And once I aligned myself with my purpose, the rest is history.
But don't you think that there's different purposes for different time in your life?
That's a great question. There absolutely is. And I believe purpose is something that always evolves.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I also believe something is, you know, you have a purpose for your entire life. And then, of course, like you said, for different stages. But what's your take?
Well, to me, there's three different types of purposes. There's a purpose that arrives when you're a boy, where rites of passages were based on, right? Your purpose was to be taught what it took to become a man. Yeah. That's your first purpose as a man, is to turn between a boy and become a man. Now, once you're a man, your next purpose is to become a good man. And once you are a good man, is to find your God-given purpose, what you were put on this planet to do. Okay. So to me, there's three purposes. Not every man has a third purpose or goes after the third one, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Like I've had this conversation with a good friend of mine multiple times over the years, and he attributes it to the liberty that you have in your life. If you're somebody with a bit more free time, you were a bit more successful when it comes to your career, you're capable of detaching yourself a bit more from, let's say, your kids are older, because, you know, a good man provides and protects his family. This is the most important purpose of a man, is to be there for their family, to be second to their family, to be selfish. Like to not be selfish, to be selfless. And there's nothing more noble than that, in my opinion. And some men never go above and beyond that, which is fine. Not everybody has to. But in your case, this is why it was interesting. This is why I was asking the question is, if you're family man already, you've done what you were supposed to do. If you're in your 40s, that means you're taking care of your kids. They might not be ready to be on their own, but they might be pretty close to it. So you can start thinking about what comes next. Because once they're not there anymore, you're still a parent, but you don't have the same influence in their life as you did when they were living under the same roof as you. And this to me is when you hit that God-given purpose, when you have the career, you have the knowledge, especially because as a man, it's something that's acquired. You know, boys are born, men are made through trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. We're a man's value is always calculated about what he brings to the table. And as a man, this is something that takes a long time. Like, there's a good reason why the average success for a man is in his 40s and his 50s. If you look at very extremely successful men, you have the outliers that were in their 20s and their 30s, but the biggest portion of very successful men happened in their 40s and their 50s, because most of us don't come from money. Most of us is something that we need to acquire. And how do you acquire that? Through time, because you need to build the skills, you need to build the virtues, you need to build the deep-rooted values that you are passing on to your family, that you're passing on to the people around you. So this is why it's very interesting. In your 40s, we call it the midlife crisis, which to me is so disrespectful to call it that. And we've made a mockery of it because men are not taught anymore that, yeah, in your 40s, when you've had kids, you've grown, you're wiser, you're smarter, you're supposed to do something else. You're supposed to start thinking about other people again. You're supposed to really be serving others. And the way I like to see it is this. I want to make this world a better place with me in it than the world without me in it. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And when I'm in front of God, I want to be able to tell him that, you know what? The earth was a better place with me in it than me without, like without the earth, me being there. And this, I think, is what the purpose you have later on in life is really. With all the experience, all the wisdom that you've acquired, how do you share that knowledge with others? How do you make young men better men? How do you help others? How are you hospitable? We were talking about this in church yesterday. One of the biggest values of a Christian is hospitality, being good to other people, people you don't know. And it doesn't matter that they could be prostitute, they could be a king. It don't matter. You're supposed to help others. You're supposed to care about others. Men are supposed to serve. And this is what's not taught anymore, because look at the rate of depression in men. I don't believe in depression. I think depression is a scapegoat that we label something that it's not. This is how I choose to see it. Have you ever heard of a depressed individual that had purpose?
No.
Have you ever heard of a depressed person that had purpose?
Probably not, no.
Depression doesn't mean that you don't have down days. On the contrary, we all do. Life is like a radio wave. You're going to have some good days. You're going to have some bad days. But your purpose is going to make bad days tolerable, because you know you have faith that you were put here for a reason. You have faith that you're supposed to serve others. You have faith that you have meaning in your life.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, I'm someone that talks lots about being depressed and having struggled with that most of my life. Yep. And the way you describe it perfectly describes my situation. I went through life without a purpose. And I'm someone that at 40, I don't have children. Not yet anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right? So me neither. I don't have kids either. I get it.
Right? So then what you said is, yeah, you don't have a purpose. I mean, my purpose was to go to school because that's what they told me, to get a degree, get a job.
Yep.
And then, you know, everything will happen then, right? And of course, I had the shiny toys, but that was pretty much it. No happiness, temporary happiness. I shouldn't lie, because there were good moments.
Of course.
But the negative ones were overwhelming. So coming back to that purpose, though, for a second, unless you want to dive deeper on this, but you said there's three types of purposes. But to me, it sounds like everything leads to this last purpose, because 100%. You grow to be a man, You do your part in those first couple of decades after you become a man, and then it's all about giving back. I'd argue that's the ultimate purpose.
And it is. Don't get me wrong. This is exactly what I'm saying. What I meant is that not every man gets to do it.
Oh, yes.
Not every man gets to go there. This is why I was saying that my buddy, my good friend of mine, always explained it this way. And I agree with him in a point where if you've been successful enough, if you've been able to provide for your family and create enough wealth, if you will, or enough freedom for you to chase after it. Because if you have, like me, for example, I don't have children right now, but this is what we want this year, my girlfriend and I. This is our goal, at least one of them. That means that I will have to be raising kids for at least the next 20 years.
Yes.
But I already know what my purpose is. What my God-given purpose is, I already know what it is. And the fact that I'm going to have kids is not going to prevent me from chasing it. On the contrary, my kids are going to be exposed to what it is to follow your heart, to follow God day in, day out, and to have faith that I am doing the right thing. I was put here to do it. I speak to God every day, and He confirms what I'm supposed to be doing. So this is something I will be able to teach my kids firsthand because they'll be able to see it. So there are different orders. Sometimes, like, your purpose can be inverted in my situation, and it seems is the same case in yours.
Yeah.
But for the average person, this is not the flow of their life, right? They normally, they turn into a, they go from a man, from a boy to a man to having kids through giving to their children, to their family, they become a good man. And then they, once the kids are old enough that they don't have to be dependent anymore, they get to redirect their energies to their God-given. But it is possible, and there's no shame into this either. It's extremely noble. Can you imagine if every single father out there would take the job of being a father to the, as it was their God-given purpose? How better we would be. Same thing for mothers. Imagine that they took this role so seriously, understanding God gave them that purpose to do.
Yeah.
The world would be a better, the world right there would be extremely a better place. But some people, that's still what they do. And when they grow up, they need a different purpose. That's what the middle life crisis is what do I do now?
Hey, it's Constantine here. And I want to take a brief moment to truly thank you for being a part of this incredible journey of transformation. You are the reason we are creating this content. I see you and I appreciate you. Your support truly means the world to me. I want to ask you for a small favor. I'd love for you to join our mission by hitting like, subscribe, or leaving a thoughtful comment or review. Your engagement helps others discover these insights, and together we can continue to unlock the power of authenticity and personal transformation. And if you want to reach out directly to me, send me an email at constantine@unleashthyself.com. I value any and all feedback. Thank you for being a part of this movement. Now, back to the episode.
My kids are gone. I have a good career. I have a good job. I've accomplished things in my life. But as you said earlier, the shiny toys are not enough. It's temporary pleasure.
Exactly.
And it's unfortunate that we're not being taught this, because the best lessons in life are taught by pain and suffering. There's a lot of things that we're doing wrong in society today. Like, we shelter ourselves and our children from pain. We want to shelter them from experiencing pain. Yet, read the Bible. It's pain, page after page, it's about pain. Why? Because it's the best teachers. We're kind of stupid. We need consequences to our actions in order for us to learn. Why do you think the comfort zone is such a killer? Because you're never hurting enough to change. This is why you can't teach change to people. I've coached individuals for years, and you know what I've learned? People don't want to change. Yeah. People are not going to change unless they're forced. The only people that changed are the people that end up hitting rock bottom, and they understand that continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different result hurts too much. It is no longer a viable option. Changing is less painful than continuing to do what you're doing. This is when people change. This is when I changed. This is every single person I've ever talked to that come from a bad background, that come from a very bad place and became something. all had to go through rock bottom. You cannot teach it. I cannot put you in it. It is someplace that you need to end up for yourself in order to change.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what I was too. I had to hit rock bottom, at least in my terms, to be able to propel myself up and come back up. Someone once told me, it's like, you know, think about sinking down in a pool or in a lake. If you don't know how to swim, to come back up, you have to hit the bottom and push yourself up. Mm-hmm. And then you get the momentum and you go up, right? So this reminds me of that a lot. And I've been there myself. And it's funny because in the corporate world, I specialize in change management or organization change management. And there's some strict frameworks, but it always comes down to the individuals. And it's very, very tough to get people to change. And there's a lot of process involved. Mm-hmm. And not as much choice as we have in our own lives, technically. And yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. Now, you talk about distraction being an aspiration killer. And this kind of goes in there as well, because if we keep getting distracted, then there's even less desire to change, because why would you?
Well, that's something that has been understood for a long time. If you want an easy to control society, entertain them. Why? Because they don't care about what's really going on.
Yeah.
And that's applicable as much as us as a bunch of individual that forms a society, as it is as you as an individual. If all you do day in, day out is you just filled your day with things to do. Every minute of every day, you have something to do. And when you don't, you're on your phone. When you don't, you're watching Netflix. When you don't, you're drinking with your buddies. If you never, you know, one of the best and worst thing that you can do is to be bored.
Yes.
If you look, there are studies out there that shows that something like 95% of children up to the age of 5 or 6, from, if I'm not mistaken, have all the traits of becoming geniuses.
Yes.
And do you know what they grade genius? What is the number one thing they relate to genius? What is the number one thing that they can see in a kid that will equate to becoming a genius?
Creativity, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And when are you in a creative mode? When you got nothing else to do? Mm-hmm. When you're just sitting there letting your imagination take over you? And in today's world, and you know, the same studies are showing that by the time they get to adults in their 20s, 5% of them, there's less than 5% geniuses. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. Yet, 95% of kids have the capabilities of becoming geniuses, but only about 5% or less of individuals are. Why? Because you're always distracted, because you always have something to do. You know, I spent a year and a half in the woods back in March 2020. Okay. I spent between a year and a half in the woods, middle of nowhere, away from everything that I knew. I left the city and I went to live in the woods. As an extrovert, one of the worst things I've ever done for myself. As in, one of the most brutal thing I've done, because I knew this would destroy the way I was living. I was used to being up at 4 o'clock in the morning, having something to do until 9 or 10 o'clock at night, go to bed and rinse and repeat. But yet, when I started getting bored, when I removed those distractions, when I start just being with myself, there's a little voice that starts talking to you and you start talking back to it. You start having conversations with yourself, basically, as bad as this sounds. This is exactly what happens. But when you start removing those distractions and you start asking yourself questions, those are the great moments in your life. This is when you finally allow yourself to reflect on what you are.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, even now I still catch myself going for the distraction, because it's so much easier to just pick up the phone or go online or go on the TV than to sit with your emotions, sit with your feelings, sit with God, if you may, with mm-hmm. anything like that, because that's... Well, again, fear of the unknown. You don't want to change, but also it's painful. It can be painful. I know from my personal experience, that was the case.
But you should embrace it. If there's one thing I've learned over the years, is to embrace pain. I'm not somebody that enjoys it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not somebody that likes to be whipped and being tortured in the bedroom. Not at all. I'm not that type of guy. But all I'm saying is pain is there no matter what. No matter what you do, pain is there. There's nothing you can do about it. It's going to be part of your life. If it's the yin yang, it's the two opposites, it's the two sides of the same coin. There is always good with bad. One comes with the other. Often it's made by us too. Like, evil was created by men. we created evil. We are the ones doing evil things. So we cause most of our pain. But instead of trying to hide from it, embrace it. Because as I said earlier, pain and suffering are the greatest of teachers. If there's nothing you can do to prevent pain, why run away from it? It's going to be there no matter what. And I can guarantee you that it's going to be a lot less painful to sit with your pain. It will be more condensed in a shorter amount of time. It's going to be more painful for less time than to run away from it.
Absolutely.
Because this, you'll never get rid of it. If you're running away from it, you're running away from something and you know it. Yeah. This is brutal. So not only are you hurting, but you're a coward on top of it. Now you're starting to mess with somebody's head.
And speaking of that, because I love psychology, right? So I study a lot of it. Think about it. Like if you're running away from something, your flight mode is enabled. So you're always stressed as well. So if you're not facing the pain, the stress is always there.
And there's only two ways. Your brain only works, and you're talking about a fight and flight response.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only two ways your brain can operate. It can operate in a survival mode, or it can operate in a growth mode, but never both at the same time.
No.
You cannot be growing and surviving at the same time. You can't. It's either or. So facing your pain, it's going to suck. It's going to be survival mode for a while. It might, but there's nothing for you to do except accept it. Except live with it. Except try to understand what it's trying to teach you. Like one of the reasons I'm a Christian is if you look at the Bible, God always teaches lessons through pain. You always have to go through something in order to become something else. Nobody grows because it's fun to do. People grow because it sucks. Because we didn't have a choice. We were faced with something where, sorry, you had a choice. Let me backtrack. It's not true. You always have a choice. You have a choice to run away from it, or you have a choice to embrace it. This is always your choice. But the day you start understanding that the only path to growth is through pain. We're stupid. We don't learn because everything's going well. We're not like that. We're lazy. You think that human beings have been surviving for hundreds of thousands of years and evolving because it was easy? No, we evolved because we had two choices: die or fight it, or embrace it, go through it, and change. Those are your options. Life is no different. It just lasts a lot less time, but it's still the same. It's everywhere around you. I don't care the religion you look at. I don't care the spirituality that you look at. There is always a portion of pain. Always. It's always there. There's nothing you can do about it. Just embrace it.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the universal laws of the universe, for example, if one wants to go down that path, the same thing. You have both sides. You cannot have one without the other.
How would you know something is good if you have no idea of what bad is? How can you ever know what bad is if you don't know what good is?
No.
You can't. They both go hand in hand. It is the way it is.
Yeah. And the other thing that comes to mind here is something that I was talking to a friend of mine recently, is this idea that when something scares you, when something you want to do, scares you and brings fear in you, that's probably a good sign for you to go towards that thing, as opposed to running away from it, which is what most people do, or let's say your old you would do. And that was me most of my life. And even now I catch myself doing that. Like, for example, with this friend 2 days ago, we're talking about, we met together in a retreat in Ecuador doing plant medicine.
Ayahuasca in Ecuador.
Yes, that's it.
I'm a big fan of psychedelics. So I love psychedelics. I've done it in Peru. So I understand.
Peru, there we go. That's my next destination, I think.
Yep.
But coming back to it, there's something called a darkness retreat. I'm sure you're familiar with it, which is very similar to probably what you did in the forest when you went. Now, essentially, this is you get locked up in a room. This one that I looked at was in a cave for 3, 5, 7, 11 days with no light. No sounds, just you and your thoughts. You get food twice a day. And man, when I heard about that years ago, and then I came back to revisit, I'm like, wow, that scares me. I'm like, I did hard things, but no. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, well, if that scares me, that means there's something there for me to pursue. And by the time we finished the conversation an hour later, I was like, when can I book this? I want to go do it. It still scares me, but I want to go towards it.
This is exactly how I do it too. Something scares me, I need to do it. There's something, why is it scaring me?
Exactly.
There's something, you know, I don't believe that you can be fearless. I don't, but when people tell me I have no fear, I'm like, yeah, right. Okay, cool story, bro. If you have no fear, if you literally have no fear, you have a psychological problem. There's something really seriously wrong with you. But it is not true. People are not fearless. Courage is not a lack of fear. On the contrary, it's embracing that fear, knowing that it's there, that there's a chance of you being hurt. There's a chance of you dying. There's a chance of something bad happening to you. That's what courage is. You decide to do it no matter what the consequences are. That's courage. Yeah. So, and this is exactly what you're saying. I do the same thing. If this is why I've done so much in my life. Ask me, I've probably done it. Not because I woke up a day and I'm like, hey, I want to do this. No, it's because somebody stupid in my life is like, hey, bro, you want to try this? No, but yes. You know, no, but yes, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I mean, can't argue with that.
Well, look, you know, years ago, I read a study that was explaining that you had some scientists and they went to people dying. So they went to people on their deathbed and they asked them, what was their biggest regret?
Mm-hmm.
And the study came out to say that the biggest regret of the dying is to have lived a life others expected of them and not the life they wanted to live.
Yes, 100%.
Since I read that, I'm like, screw this. Never going to be me. Never. I will always I could have stayed in the corporate world 14 months ago. I was a sales engineer, man. I did not have to worry. I was in line for a job that would have paid $300,000-$400,000 a year. I didn't have to worry about anything anymore. Not that I had to worry about anything at that point either, but I could have bought more houses. I could have a bunch of kept my investment. I could have just continue growing my portfolio. Instead, I sold everything and I started. I'm like, you know what? Let's put my trust 100% in God and see where it goes. That's the life I've been living for the past 14 months because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Is it hard? Is it easy? No. Hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
What's the biggest lesson you got out of all of this? I'm sure, I mean, you've gotten many, we've talked about many, but I'm curious, what's the biggest takeaway so far?
Over the past 14 months?
Yeah.
You know, the biggest lesson I've learned is this. For the longest time, I thought I had good instincts. For the longest time, I've always said this, that I have really good instincts. What I've learned about over the past 12 months is it never was me. I just had faith. I just listened to that internal voice. I thought it was my voice, but it's never been. That was God's voice. This is, and you know how freeing that is to say, I no longer have to worry about those instincts being right or wrong. That power doesn't even belong to me. The only thing I need to make sure that I always do is to have the courage to continue having faith. Because having faith takes courage. Knowing that you're doing what you were supposed to do, what you were put on this earth to do, is extremely freeing when it comes to decision making. Because you're like, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to do. Now, it makes everything extremely difficult because it's out of your control. All you have to do is to continue trying. And as I said, God teaches you lessons through pain and suffering. So you know it's going to hurt. It's not going to be easy. Bruce Lee said to never wish for an easy life, but wish for the power to endure a hard one. And this is what I choose to do. Having an easy life, I already had it. I could have continued, like most people in their lives, I could have continued doing what I was doing. And then one day I would have been a director, a VP of a company, or maybe I would have been a CEO of a company. And I would have had a bunch of money. I would have bunch of investment. And I would have died like a sucker that would have never really lived his purpose because I would have been selfish. Because this is very selfish. The way that we live today is extremely selfish. We think about ourselves. I decided to not live for myself, but to live for what God tells me to do. And you know what it comes down to? Helping others. That's always what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Always do something in order to serve others.
You're taken care of.
He sent his son to be homeless. So that's how much he cares about your comfort. So I'm just putting it out. Putting it out there. If you read the Bible, Jesus was poor. He was homeless. He was a vagabond. So you don't need much. This is the thing. We have such a screwed view of what we need as people. There's a bunch of studies that came out. If you make 50 or it's somewhere, depending on the country, obviously, but it's somewhere between 40 to 60 grand a year. If you make it around this, you're not happier making $2 million per year because your basic needs are met. You have food, you have a place to stay, your family's taken care of. You have enough money to take care of your life to buy you enough freedom to do the things that makes you happy once you're done working. So your happiness is not on the amount of money that you make every year. It's on the amount of freedom that it buys you, amount of freedom that you get to do what you're supposed to do outside of work. Exactly. This is where the beauty of the, this is what I've learned over the past 14 months. I'd rather have less money, but be able to spend time with my girlfriend, spend time. You know how many hours I've spent sitting outside with a cigar and on a lawn chair in the sun, cigar, my dog's just there and I'm reading a book. I do this 1 or 2 hours every single day. If it's nice out now, obviously it's colder, but as soon as it's going to be acceptable again, I'm going to start doing it, and I will do that for the rest of my life. This to me is about as happy as I get. Just being sitting there, book, a cigar, my girlfriend can be there, my dog's chilling right there, and I don't have a care in the world, and I look at how awesome this world is.
I love that. I mean, you're approaching it from a positivity mindset as well, which is another thing that we can delve into. But, you know, I mean, you can look at all the negative stuff, or you can try to make it better. And by following your purpose, you're making the world a better place for yourself and for those around you.
What can you change? You know, it always comes down to this. What do you control? You control three things in your life. You control your emotions, you control your actions, and you control your reactions. That's it. That's all you got. You can't choose all the situations in which I can choose to go to the gym. Am I going to get there or not? Is there a drunk driver that's going to hit me? Who knows? It's out of my control. I can have the intention. I can take the actions to say, I will go to the gym. This is what I'm doing. Outside of that, it doesn't belong to you. This is, you know, people are, so, are we've become such control freak. We want to control everything around us, yet we have no impact on it except stressing the hell out of ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know how freeing it is to say that it's out of my control?
That is, you know, I've done it recently. I mean, more recently in life. It's so freeing.
It's hard to achieve. It's hard to let go. It's hard to trust something else. It's hard to say, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I will let an outside force, call it God, call it nature, call it the universe, however label you want to put on, and say, I'm going to put it out there that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I'm going to wait for the people to show up in my life to help me. There's some opportunities that are going to start appearing because you're putting it out there and you're working towards something.
Yeah.
Another thing I've learned over the past year, I used to do a lot of goal setting. I used to, every year I would have a bunch of goals. I would have all the steps to get to that goal. I haven't done that in the past year. I don't know what the goal is anymore. I don't know. The goal is to, again, when I'm in front of the pearly gates and I get to explain myself to God, I want to be able to tell him that I did more good than bad. That's the goal. How am I going to get there? Well, I'll continue serving. I'll continue putting myself out there. I'll continue trying to help others that I don't know, try to help others that are not necessarily nice to me. Yeah. I'm going to try to turn the other cheek when somebody verbally attacks me. I'm going to try to de-escalate the situation. I'm always going to try to just be better, trying to make this place a better place.
100%. And I love listening to how you're describing your life over the last 14 months as well and everything that has changed. And it's about 16, 17 months for me since I made a big commitment to change. And I've had some of the same realizations. And you touched on faith, right? Having faith that this will be okay and you will get the right answer. For me, it had to start with trust before it got the faith piece. And even now, I still catch myself at times. What I mean, trust. Trust that you will be okay. Trust that you will get the right answers because you have them within you. And like you said, they're not necessarily yours. I mean, they come from God, universe, whatever you believe in. It doesn't really matter. But those are there. We're just too busy to listen to any of this stuff. And then we're not...
But it goes further than that. But hold on. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
but
you're
touching on something that I explain all the time. Faith is, I'm a religious guy, so faith is a religious term, but it does not need to be. It can just be a spiritual term. And the way I like to explain it is this. There is three types of faith. There is, and see it this way. Let's, for sake of argument, let's replace faith by belief or believe. In order to create self-confidence, you need to first believe that you're capable of achieving what you put your mind to. Fair. In order to create new and meaningful relationships with others, you need to first believe that they are who they say they are. And in order to find purpose, you need to believe that you were put here for a reason. So trust is all about that. How can you ever trust yourself if you don't first believe that you're capable of doing something? It all starts there. Faith is everything. Faith is absolutely, absolutely everything.
Yeah, I love that. And I agree with you 100% because I looked at myself. I mean, as I mentioned, I went through all the steps to get to what I am, but everything had to be controlled. Everything had to be, even though I was guided, I didn't feel the way because I had to control every step of the way. And there was no trust between me and my inner self, me and my God, me and my universe, until I actually became aware of that and took action to change those things. And that's the hard part. And it's still a work in progress 16 plus months later for me.
It probably still will be in 10 years from now.
Yeah.
This is the thing. We're not perfect. We'll continue making mistakes. As much as I have 100% faith in God, it is still hard sometimes to have faith. Like, you know, sometimes it's, oof, I question. I don't lose faith, but I question. I'm like, man, there's really, I came to look at it this way. I don't understand what God's plan is for everybody. I don't. I understand what my part is. I'm playing checkers. God is playing chess. So you need to have faith that you're doing the right thing. You need to have faith that you were put here for a reason, but it's going to be hard. That there's no doubt about it. I don't think there's anything harder than just having, because faith is blind. You know, on social media, I tend to create a lot of content where I challenge people. Mm-hmm. I ask questions that people don't want to answer, and I will tag groups of people. I will ask a religious question to atheists. I will ask questions to feminists talking about traditional femininity. I will ask very masculine questions to people that believe in toxic masculinity. So I challenge people all the time, and it brings me a lot of feedback. Some good, a lot of it is bad, but the whole goal is to challenge people.
And I like what you're saying there as well, because you can take it a step further. Before you can even challenge people, we should look at challenging ourselves. That's how you build the trust and the belief. Wait a second, you actually have the answers. And you don't have to follow someone else's
direction. I think you need to be challenged by somebody else first. Because think about it this way. Everything that you've learned in your life, somebody or something taught it to you. It was an external source that made you I was just on a podcast earlier and I was talking about this. Every single realization that I've had came from a conversation with someone that I disagreed with. And I was like, you know what? No, what you're saying is up. Hold on here. Okay, hold on. I'll have to get back to you on this one. What? Like, hold on here. And this is the thing. It all comes from, you know, we were talking about how we try to shelter ourselves from pain. Mm-hmm. We try to shelter ourselves from people that hold different beliefs than we do. Because most people today don't like to be challenged. Because you know what it means when you're challenged? That means there's a chance you're wrong. And if you're indeed wrong, that means you might have been wrong for a long time. You might have said a lot of dumb things that you were actually absolutely wrong and you're ashamed of it. So people would rather continue being wrong from an aspect of ego to say, you know what? If I don't admit I'm wrong, then I'm not wrong. I can be a victim.
Yeah, because once you unravel the first part, you can be like, what else is wrong? If I'm wrong on this, then what else?
That is exactly right. You're opening that door.
Which is the opposite is also very, very true, which is actually how I would imagine at least me on this path and maybe even you. When you say, oh, this is right. If this is right, what else is right?
Or what else is wrong?
Well, yeah, of course.
Because if that's right, I came to that realization not too long ago. I was thinking about it. I'm like, I've never met someone that I agree with 100%.
Of course, agreed.
And then I went even further. I like philosophy. So I started thinking, I'm like, I don't even agree with everything I said 6 months ago.
Yes.
So how can I expect not to be challenged by others If today I would challenge myself from a year ago, if I could have a conversation with me from a year ago, I would have a lot of crap to call. Hey, bro, you're absolutely wrong about this, that you're wrong. You're wrong about that. And that's me. That is a one-on-one. I'm not even involving other people. It's just me versus me of a year ago. I don't even agree with everything that guy did, said, or whatever. All I'm saying is, how can I expect to go out there in the world and not have people challenge me if I myself would challenge myself from a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, that's the definition of growth, right? Because if you looked at that and said, oh, I, you know, I agree with everything I said for the last 10 years. Well, well, have you grown at all?
No.
No, right?
You got worse.
Yes, yes.
I guarantee you, if you haven't grown, you got worse. You don't, being stale, like being the same, you're getting older. So you have less time. So you got worse.
Yeah, yeah. And information passed you by, opportunities passed you by. Absolutely, 100%. And so, that's why it brings me back to like another thing I talk to a lot of people about in my life is that the cancel culture, right? I understand that some people do terrible things and they have to be canceled.
No, but they shouldn't.
What if it's a pedophile? What if it's someone, you know,
expose him.
Yes.
That you know, this is a thing. I'm a firm believer in free speech, 100%. There's no such thing as free speech if a tiny little thing is canceled somewhere. If you do not allow people, if there's free speech is an ultimate, it's either there's free speech or there's not. There's no gray area when it comes to free speech. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that it should be free of consequences.
Yes.
There's a difference between the two. But I want to give people as much rope as they need to hang themselves. I want to know, because this is the two ways you can deal with it. You can either give all the freedom in the world to people to say whatever they want to say, whenever they want to say it, so that you can see exactly the type of individual that they are. Or you can prevent those people, force them underground, have them grow and build a following without ever being aware of it, because it's done behind closed doors. I would much rather allow everybody to say it out loud in front of everybody, so that we know how we know what's coming. You can predict people. You can see exactly what they're doing because they're not worried of the consequences because you're letting them do it.
That's a great point. Absolutely. And what I was going with my take on that, and I agree with you now. I see that. But also, and I'm thinking of cancel culture. Let's say someone has been doing something for 20 years and it's whatever field they're in. They specialize. They said some amazing things. But then they made one mistake.
Yep.
Maybe the mistake was in the past. Then the entire thing that they talk about gets canceled. And a great example for me would be someone like Jordan Peterson. I'm sure you're familiar with
him. We're both Canadian. We come from the same place. So I'm a big fan.
Right. But he, you know, he at some points was tempted to be canceled, right? And he's very divisive, you know, for good reason. But he has his strong points. He's done some amazing things. He's done some less amazing things in the eyes of others. And now that's the type of people that get canceled. And to your point from earlier, like, we don't agree with the stuff we did 6 months ago for our own. So why do we hold everyone else to this high standard when we can't hold ourselves to the same standard?
That's exactly why. Because we don't want to hold ourselves to their standards. This is how our brain works. When you like somebody, it's because you see yourself in them.
Yeah.
This is what we're so selfish that the people we like is because we either want to be like them, or we see ourselves in them. The people that we hate is no different. They reflect parts of us that we don't like. And instead of saying, I'm the problem, I would rather point my nasty finger at somebody else because I don't want to live up to the fact that this is me. Yeah. There's nobody out there that can go against Jordan Peterson and start saying he's wrong about this, he's wrong about that. He's not. He's a historian and a psychiatrist. Guess what? He's based in facts. If you don't like what he says, you know what? Because he's pointing his finger right back at you. That's what you don't like. People don't argue what he says. They argue the person. This is what we've...
for everything, though, right? Like in almost every area that they usually argue the person, yeah.
Look at Donald Trump. Perfect example. Like the person or not, he's done a way better job than Obama. On paper, he did more for the country in 4 years than Obama did in 8. Was he a real politician? No. Was he kind of a jackass? Yeah. Should have somebody taken his phone away from him for Twitter? Yeah, probably. Probably. But we live in a world right now that we're not capable of seeing past somebody's personality. If we don't like someone, what he does is wrong just because we don't like him. And you know what? This is so childish. It makes no sense to me. How can you honestly believe that you're going to like everybody? No. Does that mean that everything that person does is wrong because you don't like them? No. You're wrong. There's a guy I met, a biologist from the University of Montreal. We had a podcast years ago, and he's an atheist. Like that guy, we had some philosophy conversation. It was great. But he basically told me this, and I agree with him. He's like, there's no such thing as a great man, just great ideas. Because dig deep enough, you'll find something wrong about everybody you're going to meet.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody, there was one perfect person. His name was Jesus Christ, and there was one. One out of the billions of people that has walked this earth. One. One perfect person. Dig deep enough, you're going to find a problem with everybody you're going to meet. And you and I are no different.
Yeah. I mean, I could even find an argument here to say, yes, you know, we may see Jesus as the perfect being, but for anyone that's not a Christian,
yep,
that's not the case.
Well, they're the one that's wrong, but it's okay. That's semantic. No, I'm just messing. I just like that.
But it's all perspective, right? We can always, like you said, we're always going to find something wrong in people if we go looking for the wrong and we don't look at the full picture.
But does that make them wrong?
No.
So because a person did something wrong in his life, does that mean that every single idea, every single other thing that he's said, that he's done was wrong?
No, exactly. That's my point. That's why I don't understand. And I have conversations with this with many people in my life, and some are like, yeah, that makes sense. Some are like, no, if he messed up once, it's over. And I'm like, have you never made mistakes in life? Have you never made mistakes?
Yeah, but they're not the same.
Which you can take them back.
It's different for them because those people deserve to be excused. They deserve to be forgiven. Others don't. But this is how ridiculous we actually are. It's insane. We are absolutely insane.
But in that, that's the lesson right there, right? Because if we can become aware of that, which more people are, that means you now have an even bigger reason to change. You have even more fuel to your own rocket, so to speak. So you can go inwards and you can find, well, what's that person mirroring that I'm so unhappy with them?
Look at society today. It comes down to I can boil down every single problem in society to one single thing. A lack of accountability. Look at any single problem out there. You will find somebody somewhere that did not want to do their job, that did not want to live up to what they were supposed to do. They were selfish and they said, you know what? Nope, not my problem. It all starts there. It all starts with being accountable for your action and being self-aware to know that, you know what? I'm not perfect. You know what? I've done a lot of mistakes in my life. I've hurt a lot of people. And does that make me a bad person? Maybe. Maybe it does. Maybe you are. You know, if your life sucks, chances are it's your fault. People hear that and they're like, no, you're wrong. No, no, no. But they fail to understand the most important part of my comment is that if you have the power to mess up your life, you have the power to make it better.
Yes.
This is all a matter. You said the word perspective earlier. You know, happiness is not a destination. Happiness is a state of mind.
Yeah, it's a journey.
You can choose to be happy right now. Right now, if you want to, you can be happy with nothing. You see it all the time. You see people with nothing that are happy. If there's one thing I know, I've been traveling for 14 months. I've met people from all over your country. I was traveling. I've backpacked a lot in my life. I've been on motorcycle trip for 3 weeks by myself with just gear, just traveling thousands of miles. And you know what I've learned? There's happy people everywhere, and they don't necessarily have much.
Yeah.
They understand something that most people will never understand is that life is so simple. Man, if you choose to help others, if you choose to care, if you choose to just be, Gandhi said it, be the change you want to see in the world.
100%. That's a quote I always refer back to. And you're talking about simplicity. I mean, we talked about Peru and then Ecuador, where I went to, and you see the way people live in the mountains, in the villages, and they're the happiest people alive. And yet they have less than any of us here in North America making like a day or an hour or even, you know, whatever, right? It's like, and they're happy. Because why? They look at the positives, not the negatives, which is what most of us focus on. I don't have this, I don't have that, this is bad in my life, this is on the news, the world is going in this direction or that direction, and it's a negativity bias. We just feed negativity, and then how can you be happy?
And you know what the worst part is in all of this is that I've been through Peru, I backpacked over Peru. It's extremely poor, and they have whatever they have, they'll share it with you.
Yes.
This is what I find amazing. So just this year, there was a charity at the church where they found kids that don't have parents or part of the system that would not get Christmas gift. Like they don't have anybody to give them anything. Mm-hmm. So we picked, my girlfriend knows I have a very soft spot for young men. As in, I want to help them. Like I want to, I understand what it is to grow up without a father. And if there's something I can do to help them, I would. We, instead of buying each other present, we took that money. We didn't buy each other any Christmas gifts, but we gave to a young boy. We gave to a young man. We went to the store. We bought him a bunch of stuff that he wanted. So instead of buying each other something, we chose to do that. Last year, that was Christmas that just passed. Last year, we were in Austin, Texas. I was at the gym. It's the 24th. We're at the gym. My girlfriend and I finished working out on our way out. There's a young man that worked there, probably like 18, 19 years old. And I'm always in touch with my heart. Like I always pay attention to people. And I know I've had conversations with him before, and I knew he came from a different state and he was alone. Like his family wasn't there. He literally packed his car, went there because he had a job right out of college working in a gym. So I'm like, hey, bro, what do you do tonight? Are you doing something? Like, you want to come with us? Like, we live in an RV. We don't have much. Like, we don't have a lot of space, but we'll happily share our food with you if you want to come with us. He ended up staying 2 or 3 weeks with us. Turned out he was homeless. He lived in his car because he couldn't afford to have an apartment yet because he had just moved there just to get that job. All it took is for me to invite him to supper.
Yes.
Not only that, but that night, there was other people. There was a dude that was there to visit his son that lived in Austin, but he came from somewhere like North Dakota or Minnesota. He came from somewhere super far. He drove with his other son to go see his older son that was working as a chef in Austin. We ended up 8 or 9 of us having Christmas together. None of us outside. I knew my girlfriend. I didn't know that young man that I invited. I didn't know the father with his two sons. I had no idea who they were. But we ended up, a bunch of us, just chilling, having a drink, smoking cigars, just enjoying yourself just because I went out of my way to invite a young man to come join us. How hard is that for people to do it? It's so simple. You can do that tomorrow. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. You can do it
now. And those stories are so beautiful, Nico, and all I can think as you're telling the story as well is like, fast forward 10 years from now, if you had exchanged gifts like you would normally do, would you remember that gift 10 years from now?
Nope.
But how about these experiences? Like, 100%. These will stay with you for life. But even more importantly, I would imagine, is the impact on those people's lives.
That's my point. That, you know, if that kid did not have hope, if that kid had a really bad month, a really bad year because he doesn't have parents, and now complete strangers that he'll never meet, out of love, gave him a bunch of gifts. He has no clue who we are. He'll never get to thank us. We'll never get to see him enjoy them either. But we did it just out of pure love for a perfect stranger.
Yeah.
Just because we knew that his life would be better, the money would be better spent on him than it would be on us. He would appreciate it more than we do. And exactly like you said, we wouldn't have even remembered 2 or 3 years from now. Not even 10 years, 2, 3 years from now. It wouldn't have mattered what we bought ourselves. But do you know how much that's going to matter to that kid?
And those are the memories you will remember as well for so long. So even if you, let's say you do it from a selfish point of view, let's say someone wants to do it for myself. I mean, those are the memories that will make you happy when you think back, because I doubt that you will ever think back about that and have anything other than a smile on your face.
It's so simple. It takes nothing for you to do charity work. It takes nothing for you to take a day out of your week, out of your month, to go help, to go give food to homeless people. It takes nothing away from you from being a big brother in your neighborhood. Like there's big brothers everywhere. There's nothing, you don't have kids, you don't have a brother, you don't have this, you don't have that. You know what? You spend a lot of time sitting on your bum watching Netflix on your phone. Put your phone away. Just go give some time back to other people. Go serve people you don't know. Help complete strangers. There's nothing better for your soul than that. I do it all the time and I will do it. I wish I did it more when I was younger, but you know what? I can't change the past, but I will do it for the rest of my life. And those are little things that it's such an impactful change that you're capable of doing in somebody else's life. We're here in Alabama. There's a couple that we met at church that went out of their way to come see us to say, hey, we don't know you, but you know what? Do you want to come have lunch with us? Like once we're done here, do you want to come spend the afternoon with us? We've been here for 3 months. Now they're becoming super good friends. They're top five best people I've ever met in my life. That couple, two boys, they're phenomenal people. The only reason we know them is because they went out of their way to say, hey, we know you're not from here. You're far away from your family because we haven't seen our family in a year and a half now. And they're like, you know, maybe you want to spend time with us now.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all they had to do is just to invite us. And now we've seen them 15, 20 times outside of church. We hang out all the time. They're great, great, great people.
Yeah. This reminds me, this is slightly different here, but if you think back to your time when I did ayahuasca in Peru and when I did in Ecuador, in my 12 days in Ecuador, because we exchanged such powerful experiences and we were vulnerable and we shared stories, we were there for each other. Again, complete strangers, like you said, mm-hmm. there for each other. I have 10 plus amazing friends out of that 2 years later. I've been in Nova Scotia, Canada, here, Halifax, where I'm at for 6 years, and I cannot say I have one friend on the same level as that. And that was 12 days with strangers from all over America, UK, Australia even. How do we explain that, right? I mean, we can, of course, but it goes in the same vein, right? Because when you go out of your way to just be there for someone, it doesn't matter if it's financially, emotionally, there's different levers there, but
yep.
Be there for someone, the bonds that you form are just incredible.
And you know, ayahuasca is an extreme because it is an extreme experience. Like it's going to be an interesting, if you've never done it, it's an interesting journey. But the worst part is that you don't even need to go that far. That's something, that's an impact you can start having tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely.
This is the play. This is the thing that we forget. This is the thing that we're not being taught. And it's unfortunate because we all have the power to do it. Every single one of us have the power to do it now.
That's a beautiful message to kind of wrap things up, because leave people with this idea that, hey, you can be the change you want to see in the world, like we mentioned earlier. And just starts with a small act of kindness, essentially, right?
You don't even need to go out of your way. You're supposed to be doing it. No, but seriously, there's nothing more natural than helping somebody else. There's nothing more natural than that.
Yeah, when it comes to our raw humanness, I agree with you 100%, but that's not what society is teaching us, right?
No, it's harder for us to go.
To remember.
It's so toxic for us to go against it, to not care about our neighbors. You know, stupid thing. My neighbor right here, we work from home. I run my business from the RV. The neighbor works super long hours. He has a dog. I'm a big fan of dogs. My girlfriend and I went to see him last month and we're like, hey, you know, there's nothing stopping us from taking your dog out. So now during the day, when we know he's going to be gone for a while, we take the dog out, we walk her, and then we put her back. Do you know how much it takes? Nothing out of my time. I'm here. I actually really like his dog too. She's a super cool dog, but it takes nothing out of me. He gave me one of his keys and he's like, bro, anytime, like just, you want to take her out? Perfect. But then the other day we were going somewhere. There was a thunderstorm. Dogs don't like thunderstorm. We asked him like, hey, if it's too shaky, cause there are a lot of tornadoes around here. So I'm like, hey, if something happens, can you grab? And he's like, oh, yeah, there was a bit of thunderstorm. So I went to your place. I grabbed your dog and she spent time with us. She just chilled with us. But all came down because we offered to just take his dog out. And now he's a super cool dude. Like, he's a super nice guy.
I see that this is what brings up to me right now is we talked about trust and faith at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Well, in the middle of it. This is what it comes back to, because you had to trust and he had to trust back, which again, we're not shown or taught throughout our life.
It's so harder not to trust than it is to trust. No, but seriously.
Yeah.
I've been burned. I can tell you that I get burned more often than not. By trying to help other people, people take advantage of me all the time. But you know what? And my girlfriend tells me that all the time, that you need to stop. You need to be more selfish. And I'm like, no, because I wouldn't be me. I could get burned 9 out of 10 times. And the one time I don't get burned, the one time I actually have an impact on somebody's life, makes the other 9 time worth it. I can't control what other people are going to do with what I do. I cannot, if I go out of my way to help somebody and he spits in my face, I can't control that. It doesn't belong to me. But I still put a good intentions out there. I still tried to make this place a better place. However those people take it, that doesn't belong to me. I can't change that. But why change who you naturally are to not be hurt? Again, it comes down to that. If you're not scared of pain and suffering, just put yourself out there. It all comes down to that. If you start embracing pain and say, you know what? It is a consequence. It is a consequence. It is definitely something. That young man that we helped last year for three weeks, turned out he was a drug addict. Turns out that the reason he lived in his car is because all his money went for his drug addiction. But I offered him. I'm like, bro, he lost his job at that gym because he was getting high at work. So I went to speak to the manager that runs the gym, and I'm like, bro, do you know of a program we can put him on? We had found him a program that was 100% free, that was done by the state. He refused to do it, so I kicked him out. I cannot change. I had all the best of intentions. I wanted the best for him. He could call me today, a year later, and say, hey, man, I need your help. I'd help him again. But you can't change the way he's going to be. So I kicked him out because there's no way I was putting my girlfriend at risk. Somebody that's lacked drugs, and we're not talking weed here, right? Yeah. So somebody that has a real addiction, I don't keep that away. I'm not going to put my girlfriend in danger. I'm not worried about me. I'll break him in half if he misbehaves. Like, to me, it's not a problem. But for my girlfriend, it's a different story. So I had to choose her over him. But the point is, I got burned. I spent a lot of time trying to help him, and he just turned out and spit in my face, basically. But would that ever stop me from doing it again? Absolutely not. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
And it's interesting, as you say the story, right? You got burned, but yet it's still a good memory of yours, at least the first part of it, because you helped a stranger. You didn't know all those other details. Those came up after, right? So part of the story was negative. Part of it was positive.
It's all positive to me.
Yeah.
There's no negative in that story, because at the end of the day, what is that guy going to remember 10 years from now? That there was a complete stranger that went out of it. He might not understand that today, might not understand that 4 years from now. But the day that he gets away from that addiction, the day that he cleans himself up, he will realize that that's where it started. There was a guy, no matter what, that believed in him. That believed that he could do better. I had started hiring him to help me with the content creation that I do, because that's something he was interested in. So I was actually helping him with all the stuff that I've learned over the years, how to create better content, how to actually grow. Like, I was there to help him. And that's the thing. Those are experiences that he's never had before. And somebody, a complete stranger. So again, with the boy that we gave gifts to this year, when he thinks about that year, he'll remember it, that it was a great time for him. Same thing with that guy. He might not know it now, but years from now, he'll look back at this and he's like, man, there is good in this world. Why? Because I went out of my way.
Yeah. I mean, this reminds me again of something that I learned from another guest of mine many, many months ago now. This idea of hope, right? And there was this study done a while ago on rats, and essentially they took a rat, tossed it in the water, no chance of it to get out. After minutes, it would give up and it would drown. Of course, they would pull it out, move it away. Then they would bring the same rat and put it back in. Guess what? They could go on for hours and hours and hours
fighting
for their life, because there was hope
that somebody would save them.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you gave that person hope. Like you say, may not see it now, but they may see it later. And that's what it takes. Not what it takes, but that's what it could be, right? You can just talk nicely to someone, to do something nice for someone else, and maybe that's the hope they need to be able to make it one more day.
And even if he dies of an overdose while never realizing that I had all the best intentions for him, I still chose to do good. If you believe, I believe what you put out there. Mm-hmm. If you put negativity out there, it's going to come back to you. But if you choose to put positivity out there, you choose to be the change you want to see in the world, mm-hmm. guess what?
Yeah.
The world is I was just writing that earlier. The world is change one community at a time, one nice act at a time, one person at a time is how you change the world. One person.
Yes. And it starts with us. That was a big realization of mine. It's like by working on yourself, because this is all about you, really. It's not about anyone else. As you change yourself, your world gets better. And that's your community. And it's one community at a time. And if your world gets better, then the larger world gets better as well.
Without knowing, you inspire. Again, yesterday there's a guy that approached me because I do coach men. And there's a guy that approached me. He's like, hey, bro, I don't know if you remember me. He's a guy I known like 18 years ago, 18, 20 years ago when I first started martial arts. We trained at the same gym 20 years ago. He's like, hey, man, I've been following you for years and I could really use your help. That dude's been following me for 4 or 5 years of content creation, never commented, never liked my posts, never did anything with my posts. Now I get millions of views every month. And he's just one of many. I'd never had a clue that guy had anything to do with my content, but he's been following me that whole time. Yeah. So never underestimate the impact that you have on others, even if they don't tell you. People are always watching what you're doing. You might not know it, but people out there are watching. And this is why I always try to behave in a way where my younger self is watching. I try to be the guy my 14-year-old self, I want to be the man that he could have looked up to. And this is what I have in mind, right? I try. I'm not perfect. Believe me, I make a lot of mistakes still. But I want to be the guy that my 14-year-old self could look up and say, you know what? This is a man I would like to become.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to look at it for sure, 100%. Wow. Fascinating conversation here, Nico. Loved every second of it. I'm wondering, as we're coming here to wrapping this up, is there anything else that comes up for you that you want to share that we haven't touched upon? Any last pieces of wisdom?
All starts with you, man. You know, not really. Just be kind. You know, I posted something from Oliver Anthony. I don't know if you know the singer.
I believe so, yeah.
The guy that found, he has millions of followers now, and he was nothing 8 months ago. Nobody's never heard of it either way. Yeah, he's a big Christian. He's a big God believer, and he just released a video where he was talking with Dr. Peterson just about how we need to start recognizing that we're more alike than different.
Yes,
and I say this all the time too, and it's we agree on about 60 as per the bell curve. We agree on about 65 to 70% of things. We disagree on 30, and we make our whole life on the disagreement part instead of realizing that we agree on more things than we disagree.
Yeah.
We're more alike than we are different. If you understand that the people out there that you judge all the time, that you don't like, are more like you than not, chances are you're going to want to help them more.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful message.
I'll finish on that. I'll stop yapping and I'll finish on that.
No, I love it. I mean, I could talk with you for hours here. Now, yeah, I mean, that's it. Let's finish on that, Nico. That's been a pleasure. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration of personal transformation. Your presence and engagement are at the heart of what we do, and I sincerely appreciate you, your time, and thirst for knowledge, inspiration, and empowerment. Please consider showing your support by hitting like, subscribe, leaving a comment, or writing a review. Your engagement not only fuels our mission, but also helps others discover these insights. For more daily guidance on personal transformation across the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical realms, be sure to visit our website at unleashthyself.com. You can also find us on Instagram at unleashthyselftoday, TikTok and YouTube at unleashthyself, and there we post daily content designed to inspire and empower you on your journey. If you have any specific thoughts, questions, or feedback, I truly value your input. Or if you'd like to have a conversation with me or work with me, please feel free to email me directly at constantine@unleashthyself.com. I would love to hear from you. Together, we're building a community united in authenticity and purpose. Once again, thank you for being a part of this movement. Until next time, continue to embrace your true self and live a life on purpose, with purpose. See you in the next episode.